You know, we're supposed to be 100% honest and true. And I could say that this caught me by surprise, but it didn't. I knew I was supposed to preach tonight. I knew that. And I didn't know who'd be here this morning. I didn't know. But I felt like before I left that room, the Holy Ghost spoke to me. Amen. And said, you're going to get an opportunity to preach this right here.
That's for you.
And I want to, I feel like that I don't have no idea I'm preaching a fancy sermon, but I do feel like that I've got a message from the Lord for us that are here. And I want you to pray for me that I could get the message across by the help of the Lord, and God would speak to our hearts. Because you know what? I do believe this. I do believe this. I believe because of him, and because of his power, and because of his word, I believe if we'll receive what he gives us this morning, I believe it'll help us through all eternity. By that I'm saying I believe it'll make a difference in eternity. I thank God for what our dear brother preached, and every message I've heard has helped me. And I thank God for this camp meeting, what it's done for my soul. And I thank God for the birth of it. This is the birth of this camp meeting. But thank God, I'll tell you right now, I know it's going to grow. I know it's going to grow. And I hope it grows till Jesus comes. But I want you to turn, if you will, quickly in your Bibles to Philippians chapter number 4. And while you're turning, you just sort of breathe a prayer that the Lord will help us get across this thought. There's many places here that we could preach out of Philippians chapter number 4. And a lot of good text verses there. And we can preach expository, preaching down through here and be a blessing. But I just got a thought right here in Philippians chapter number 4. Let's start reading, if you will, in Philippians 4 verse number 9. Paul said, those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again. Wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Right here would be a good text. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding, you have well done that you did communicate with my affliction. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And my, what a verse that is to take a text and preach. But we're not going to preach from either one of those two verses I mentioned, but look again at verse number 17, and please pray for us that we can get across this thought and get across in humility and get across in love without any arrogance or any prideful spirit of any kind, but in the power of the Holy Ghost. Paul said, Keep in mind, this is a missionary letter to these poor Philippians, which in 2 Corinthians chapter number 8 said they were in deep poverty and great trial of affliction. But still, they loved him, their missionary, so much that while none of the wealthier churches was given to help him go, time and again they sent to his necessity. I'm talking about they gave when they didn't have to give. They gave when it was a great, great sacrifice to give. They gave when nobody else would give. And they kept the missionary Paul on the field because he was in regions beyond preaching to the heathen the unsearchable riches of Christ when he did not have time to make tents and support his own self. And so they came time and again with help for him. And so under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, not just writing a letter like I might write a missionary letter. Of course, I try to pray and be inspired of God when I write a missionary letter to church. But I'll tell you, I realize it's not canonical by no means. This is the very word of God. And every word that Paul penned down and wrote to the Philippians, it came from God the Holy Ghost through the Apostle Paul to them, thank God. And so it's not just a bunch of him beating his gums, praise God. He's actually given them a truth from God through him and through his heart to them. And here's what he said. He said these words, not because I desire a gift, but as I desire fruit that may abound to your account. Now, let's look at this a minute. He said, he tells us what he did not desire. Basically, in a loose paraphrase, he just simply saying, I don't want your money. He said, I'm not trying to accumulate wealth at your expense. He understood, if anybody understood, they were his sons and daughters in the faith. They were the Philippian jailer in his house, Lydia in her house, and all those sons and daughters in the faith that Paul had heard the Macedonian call, went to Philippi, preached Jesus, and they'd gotten saved, established a church, and he left it in the hands of elders and went into regions beyond to preach. And when he knew about the persecution they were suffering, and it was a great trial of affliction, and he knew how their goods were being confiscated, and no doubt that church, like the Jerusalem church, took joyfully the spoil of their goods, knowing in heaven they had a more enduring substance, and he knew what they were going through, and he knew the deep poverty they were in, and he knew the great sacrifice that it was for them to send him an offering. And every time those men came in and gave him an offering, when he was in hungerings and when he needed something, he knew better than to desire to rob them that he might have to amass something in this world. And so he said, I don't want your money. He said, I don't desire your money. Now that doesn't mean, are you listening? That doesn't mean that he didn't take it. He did take it because he knew that that sacrifice was an odor well-pleasing unto God, a sweet-smelling savor to the nostrils of God. And he knew he had to take it. And he knew as they give, God would open up the windows of heaven like it says over in 2 Corinthians. He said, as he wrote to those Corinthians, he said, I do you to will of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. He said, I want you to witness, Corinthian church, how God Almighty has thrown open the windows of heaven and poured out his grace upon the churches of Macedonia, which include this church of Philippi. And so he did receive it, and he did use it, but for the glory of God, not to accumulate for his own self. He just used it to keep body and soul together that he might preach Jesus in the regions beyond. Amen. And let me say this. Can I say this in humility? Any preacher who's trying to amass wealth in this world needs to pray a long time and repent. I believe that. I don't believe that we need to try to accumulate in this world a mass wealth. I believe that we can't serve God and mammon And I believe that we need to travel sort of light, praise God, amen, and have enough, yeah, glory to God, to be able to go and preach and have some tires on the car and some gas in the car and have a few clothes to wear that you buy down at the Goodwill, amen.
Amen.
I mean, I'm talking about not waste nothing and try to travel as lean as you can, amen, so that you might get the gospel as far as you can, amen. He said, I don't want your money, I don't desire that, and I'll pass on from that. But here's something that he did say. Keep in mind that he said it in God the Holy Ghost. He said, I desire fruit. Not just for me. I think he expected as he preached the gospel that Christ would be faithful and the Holy Ghost would touch hearts. And I think he believed that the heathen, many of them, would be converted to Christ. I believe he had that much faith. But he didn't just say for me. He said, I want something for you. He said, I desire something for you, poor church at Philippi. I want something to happen when I preach the gospel because you helped me to preach it. I want something to happen for you. He said, I want fruit to abound to your account. Amen. Did you know, Christian, precious, saved person, that you've got an account in glory? Did you know that? Your bank account here may not have nothing in it, but thank God your account in glory, I tell you, can have a whole lot in it. Amen. And you know what he said? I don't want you just to have fruit, but I want the fruit to abound to your account. You know, now when we think about fruit, we think about no fruit, little fruit, and much fruit. The Bible talks about fruit, more fruit, and much fruit. Jesus said some brought forth 30-fold, some brought forth 60-fold, and some brought forth 100-fold. Let me give you a little test right here and see if you're listening. When you get to the judgment seat of Christ, and if you're saved, by the way, you're going there, amen. You're not going to be judged at the great white throne judgment, but you're going to be judged at the judgment seat of Christ. And when we stand at the judgment seat of Christ, would you want to have 30-fold fruit to let Jesus feed 60-fold or 100-fold? That's a pretty dumb question, ain't it? I believe everybody can make 100 on that. I believe anybody with any kind of gumption whatsoever would say, well, when I stand before the Lord, I'd want 100-fold to lay at his feet because of what he's done for me.
Amen.
We love him because he first loved us.
Amen.
You could say, I don't want sparse fruit to lay at his feet or no fruit to lay at his feet. But when I stand before the Lord, I would like to have abundant fruit to lay at the feet of the blessed Lord. How many of you will agree that that's what you want?
Amen.
And that's what Paul wanted for this Philippian church. He wanted abundant fruit, thank God, to be to their account. And I've got good news for you this morning. It doesn't make any difference, praise God, how much biblical education you have. It doesn't make any difference how much you went to school or how wealthy you are or who you are, young or old, rich or poor. It don't matter about that. I can guarantee every Christian in this building, if you'll do the three things that Bible tells us to do that I'm going to give you, if you'll do those three things when you stand at the judgment seat of Christ, you can have abundant fruit to lay at the feet of the blessed Lord. I'll guarantee you. You know what got me thinking about this message? I sat down in a Bible conference or a jubilee or a camp meeting. I don't know what to call it. And as I sat there, a preacher got behind the podium and he said, we just go out and preach. And he said, but we don't have no guarantees of nothing. And when you think about that just from the surface, I understood what he meant. But then I got to thinking about that. Would God send an empty heaven, and would God wound his own son on the cross and turn his back on his own son when all the sin of the whole world come upon him? And would God send the Holy Spirit down here and choose out unworthy, no good people has been saved by the grace of God to go and carry the gospel? And would God do that, invest all of heaven in getting the gospel to poor perishing sinners, and a preacher go out and not have no assurance or no guarantee whatsoever that what he was doing under the power of the Holy Ghost, trying to be obedient to that Lord, and there wouldn't be no fruit. Would God do that? No way. No way. And God gave me three things that I'm going to give to you, that I believe if we'll do these three things right here, that when we stand at the judgment seat of Christ, we can have abundant fruit. Now, I'm not talking about the fruit of the Spirit. That's different. I'm not talking about the fruit of righteousness. That's different. I'm talking about the fruit of a Christian, which is another Christian. Sons and daughters in the faith, that we, are you listening? That we have helped. Of course, we don't help the Lord save people, but we're the instrument. Angels are not going to preach the gospel, are they? God's going to use human agency, and he chose the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. And so I believe with all my heart that we can have sons and daughters in the faith, that we can see them get saved, and we can disciple them. And like Paul called Timothy, a son, my son in the faith, I believe we can have souls. I believe that's what this is talking about. I believe he's talking about you can have abundant souls. And I realize when somebody gets saved, they may be a dozen or 50 different people involved in that one conversion. I know that. Some can plant, some can water, but it's God gives increase. I know that, and I know we don't save nobody. I know that. But I do believe this. I do believe that souls can be credited to the account. And here's what I believe in the dispensation of the grace of God. I don't believe there'll be one single soul in heaven that God did not use human agency to help get the gospel to them. I know he preaches to the heathen, to the very creation. And when they come to the light of that creation, then God knows. They come to the light of conscience, God knows. But like old Cornelius, like Lydia, like the Ethiopian eunuch, when they come to the light that they have and they're reaching for more light, God Almighty calls the preacher to come and preach the light of Christ to them, and they get saved. Amen. And that witness comes. It may come by way of a tract. It may come by way of a song. It may come by way of a Gideon Bible. It may come by the way of just some faithful witness. It may come by the way of a preached message. But I'm telling you, God uses human agency to give them fruit for the glory of God. And sometimes many people can be involved in receiving, bless God, account for that fruit. Amen. That one person that gets saved, it may be that there'll be 10 or 15 or 20 people get credit, amen, for being involved in that conversion. Yes, amen. Are you listening?
Yes,
are you with me so far?
Amen.
Amen. Now don't get upset with me. And don't, boys, I feel like I need to crawl on my knees and preach this. Because I certainly, there ain't no way I'm trying to toot my own horn. Because I know how low down. Sorry, I am, and I'd like to have more fruit for the glory of God. I'm preaching to myself. Amen. When I do that, the three fingers pointing at me. Amen. Me first.
Amen.
Me first. Me first. Oh, goodness. Oh, goodness. In order to have a harvest, you need to sow something. You need to plant something. The first thing, I'll give you three things, and I'll be through, it won't take long. The first thing we need to sow that will guarantee us when we stand at the judgment seat of Christ, abundant fruit, the first thing is self. Self. You find in 2 Corinthians 8 and 5, concerning these Philippians, as Paul says to those Corinthians, and this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord. And to us by the will of God. Now, I'm not talking about getting saved. I know when we get saved that we have to give ourselves to the Lord. I know that. But I'm talking about after we're saved. Here's what Paul said in one place. He said, I beseech you, or I beg you, therefore, brethren, save people by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. these bodies, this old mug that I shave, these bodies, they're temples of the Holy Ghost. And did you know God Almighty not only wants her heart, but He wants the use of our faculties. He wants to use them. He wants to use my feet. Beautiful are the feet of them that preach glad tidings. He wants to use my hands. We need to touch people for Christ. I'm thinking now in a Crogana, in the streets where those handicapped and lame and maimed and every kind of disease, and where we go there to preach to try to win people to the Lord, to bring them into Brother Lawrence Lambda's clinic where my wife sat right now over there trying to work among the handicapped. I remember one woman sitting in a chair with a little old cloth over her hands, and leprosy had eaten fingers off, and she was almost blind and leprosy on her body. And I remember Brother Terry had me and my wife. Now I know that it's contagious, I know that. But because we wanted to show her our compassion for her, we went and touched her and loved her. Our hands to touch people who need a touch from God.
Yes, yes.
Amen. Amen. And so He wants our faculties. He wants our minds. He wants our body. He wants our energy. He wants our will. He wants to use this body. And so what those Philippians did, they didn't have nothing much by way of this world's goods to give. And so what happened? When the offering was plate was passed, I don't know how they received the offering, but there at Philippi, we use this example. Whenever the offering plate come by, bless God, and maybe they didn't have nothing in their pocket to put in. And so they wanted to give something, bless God, to win the lost. They wanted to give something to the Lord. And so they just got an offering plate themselves. Can I say this to you? You can give all your money. You can give your body to even be burned. You can give everything you get your hands on, and it still not be much benefit. But when you give your whole self to the Lord and surrender completely, 100%, 100%, when you give yourself to the Lord and fall into the ground, and that goes to John 12:24. And this is the way the blessed Lord said it. He said, except a corn of wheat or a grain of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth what? What? Say it out loud. Much fruit. Is that abundant fruit? Is it? He said, except a corn of wheat fall in the ground and die, it abideth alone. All the years in sin and wasted, could I but recall them now, I would give them all to Jesus. At His feet I'd humbly bow. Must I go an empty-handed? Must I meet my Savior's soul? Not one soul with which to greet Him. Must I empty-handed go? You don't have to. You don't have to. But if you don't fall into the ground and die, the blessed Lord said that's exactly how you'll appear to judgment seat of Christ. Not one soul. He said, except you fall in the ground and die. He said, except you fall in the ground and die. You've got to fall in the ground and die. If you don't, you won't have any fruit. But if you die, you will bring forth. Jesus said it, not me. this is a guarantee out of this Bible of abundant fruit. And we can make 1,000 excuses and say he meant this, he meant that, he meant the other. The truth of the matter is that we're just trying to make excuses and fool ourselves. And the fact of the matter is, no matter who it is, when you fall in the ground and die, you're guaranteed by that Bible right there, much fruit. One thing about fruit is when you sow, that seed brings forth, brings forth after its kind. It brings forth more than you sow. It brings forth in proportion to what you sow, and it brings forth after you sow. And so the problem is, we need to sow ourselves first. Give self. Fall into the ground and die. You know, this camp meeting would spread like a wildfire through the whole region. It would get such a power and such a force that the energy of it would be like a tsunami. And just like the ripples, when you throw a great big rock into a steel stream, and them ripples start going out and going out and going out and go all the way to the shore. It would reach all across this country if the people under the sound of my voice right here would fall into the ground and absolutely die. Ain't no end to where it would reach and how many souls it would reach. In this meeting this morning, it could be the nucleus of thousands and multiplied thousands of souls around this world being saved if we would fully yield our will 100% and give ourselves totally to Jesus. Please do it. Please do it. Please do it. I believe God wants to do something absolutely outstanding here and through this camp meeting. Amen. I do. The second one, this is elementary. Every one of us knows this, but I want to give us the Bible promises so it'll give us then faith come by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. That's right. And so the second one we need to sow to be guaranteed abundant fruit at the judgment seat of Christ. If we sow ourselves first, we bring forth much fruit. If we fall on the ground and die, guaranteed. Jesus said it, and he can't lie. Not possible that he lie. Number two, sow the scriptures. Luke chapter number 8, verse number 5a said, a sower went out to sow. And Luke 8:11b said, and the seed is the word of God. Do you have the word of God? How many of you have the word of God that you'd hold up? You have the word of God, hold it up. Is that the word of God, or is that the word some man's done? Is it certified seed? Amen. It ain't been genetically engineered, has it? Amen. It's not hybrid, is it? Amen. No, this comes straight from God Almighty, and man ain't monkeyed with it. The only thing he's done, translated. Amen. And God preserved it to every generation. He preserved it to this good iron right there. It is. That's the word of God. Amen. And I tell you, it's got power to save from the guttermost to the uttermost if we go forth and sow it. Amen. You know what we've done in the average Baptist church, and I don't know much about their mother churches, but in the average Baptist church, we've stood in the pulpits and we've sowed the word of God, and until the church house is so full, praise God, we can't hardly get in because it's so deep, we can't hardly get in. Word of God in the house of God is full. But what about in the fields outside the church? How much is being sowed out there? Amen. And so we need to sow the scriptures. Amen. And the Bible said, the sower goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed. He went out, first of all, to sow. And he went out how? He went out with weeping. Psalm 126, 5 and 6. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his stalk with him. Is that what it said? Well, sheaf. Did it say sheaf? Singular? I wonder what it did say. It said, he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves. Sheaves. Is that abundant fruit? Is that a Bible guarantee? Yeah. Is it really? It's something that he could recognize in this world, isn't it? I know maybe somebody's going to be saved that we didn't know got saved because of our witness, and we'll see him in that world. Amen? But I believe if we go forth with a compassionate heart and real love for sinners, enough to cry over them and beg them and plead with them. Maybe in this service here this morning, maybe somebody here's not saved. I beg you, in Jesus' name, get saved. This may be your last day. Today's the day of salvation. Behold, now is accepted time. If you hear his voice, harden not your heart. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. I beg you, come to Jesus. If you've never been saved, he'll save you. He'll save you. And I believe this, that some seed you need to soak in water before you plant it. Helps it to sprout better. And I believe this. I believe before we go to carry that book right there, we need to get somewhere in a secret place and not toot our own horn and say, look how long I pray and how much I pray. And I get up certain time in the morning and pray. I believe, though, that we need to get alone with God, and in secret we need to cry and shed tears and ask God Almighty to use what we're trying to preach to touch the hearts of the poor perishing people. And then after we preach, after we sowed the seed, I believe what we need to do, sort of like, for instance, if you sowed a yard with grass in dry weather, wouldn't you want to water that to try to get it to going good, wouldn't you? Yeah. Well, what I'm saying is after we preach, we need to cry. And we need to cry while we preach.
Amen.
You know, one great preacher, whenever he realized that he didn't have enough compassion, he wrote right there across the pulpit every time he stood to preach. He had two words right there, and those two words were try tears.
Amen.
Try tears. You know, one thing, I love Brother Frank, I really love him. Since I met him, I love everything about him. And one thing that I told him in front of that restaurant over there, I said, you know, Frank, we seem like just drawn to you. And one thing about Brother Frank, he'd go to talking about Jesus. He'd go to crying. You said big old man like that cry? Yep. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And can I say, Jesus wept.
Jesus.
In the days of his flesh, he offered up prayers with strong crying and tears. He wept there over Jerusalem. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how would I have gathered you as a mother hen gathers her chicks under her wing, but ye would not. He wept at Lazarus' tomb because he said in the Word of God, we ought to weep with those that weep and rejoice with those that rejoice. And if he hadn't have done it, bless God, and them a weeping, he would have disobeyed God and sinned if he hadn't have wept. Hey, sometimes I believe if we can't weep, bless God, with those that weep, we're going to sin against God. I believe that. Because that's what the Bible said. And I realize we don't get people saved with a bunch of crocodile tears and with our emotions. I know that. I'm aware of that. But I'm going to tell you one thing. It just could be precious soul that's not even a preacher. If you'd go to that loved one, or if you'd go to that friend, or if you'd go there at the factory or at the job, and you slip that arm around that lost sinner and you cry on their shoulder and tell them Jesus loves them, you love them, I tell you, those tears and that compassionate witness might do more, bless God, than 45 good sermons by all the big preachers. Amen. Amen. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall without a doubt, without a doubt, there ain't no question about it, it's a biblical guarantee out of the Old Testament, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves. Whose sheaves? His sheaves. Who get credit? He get credit. Because, of course, I know Jesus gets all the credit, and it's all going to be laid at his feet eventually, and that's what we want to do with it. And that's why we want to gather it for Jesus. Amen. Anything that's done for show, anything that's done for the accolades of men and the praise of men, bless God, it's wood, hand, stubble, and head, all going to smoke. Third thing, and I'll be through. Third thing, sow yourself, sow the scriptures, and sow your substance. 2 Corinthians 9:6, and these two chapters are talking about giving, free will offering, no commandment, just give out of a lovey heart for God and others, free will. This is not a tithe. This is not required of any law. It's required, though, of the law of love, compassion. And it talks about giving in these two chapters. And the last verse, the Lord saw fit to put that great verse there in the last verse of chapter 9. Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. You know, God Almighty, the Holy Ghost could have said, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. But He didn't put it there. He could have said He was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquity, and the chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes you're healed. And He could have said, thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift, but the Holy Ghost didn't put it there. He put this verse at the end of these two chapters on giving. You know, you say, well, what God gives me is mine. I beg your pardon. We're not our own. We're bought with a price. And everything we come into possession with, we need to find out from God what to do with it.
Amen.
And the bigger part of it needs to go to get the gospel out. Amen. Not to amass something here. If we're seeking first, Brother Frank, the kingdom of God and His righteousness, then we're not seeking first our own kingdom and our own well-being. I can tell a little bit about how much people love God if I can look at their bank account and see where their money's going. Amen. I could. The Bible teaches that. It teaches that we can show our love by our giving. And here's what it said on this last point on having fruit. We talked about we sow ourselves, we bring forth much fruit, go forth weeping, bearing precious seed. We come again with rejoicing, bringing our sheaves with us. That's abundant fruit. And here's the last one. And it says this right here in 2 Corinthians 9:6, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. I'm going to ask you a question. I'm getting ready to close. Question. God, the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart in the motel room this morning about this message. God, the Holy Spirit spoke to him when his other good preacher here could preach for me to bring this message. And I want to ask you, would you want me to come in here and preach to you or any other congregation so sparingly, give as little as you can to get the gospel out? Would you want me to preach that? I'll never do it. I can't do it. I never do it. Because I love you. And if you so sparingly, when you stand before Jesus, you'll have sparing fruit to lay at His feet, just sparing fruit. You could have, if you don't give yourself, you'll have no fruit. You'll have no fruit. But if you give yourself and don't give bountifully, if you give sparingly of your means, your substance, I promise you, according to that scripture, and it's all true, isn't it?
Amen.
Amen. If we sow sparingly our substance to get the gospel out, did you know what? We'll reap sparingly.
That's right.
You say, preacher, look here now. Wait just a minute. This ain't fair. You've made it so that the wealthy Christians can get a bigger reward and have more fruit. I don't have nothing much. How am I going to get it? Can I say this to you? Jesus Christ Himself, He went over there at the temple and He got where He could get an eye on that treasury, and He stood there and He watched. And He watched. And many wealthy come in and gave much. And then there's a poor widow. She come in. I believe she's raggedy. I believe she's been maybe sleeping outside in the street. He saw her come in, and He saw her walk down in humility and drop into the offering. She dropped in 2 mites and turned and went out that temple. And you know what? You know what the Lord did when he saw that widow woman put that money in? Here's what he did. He said, disciples, come here, come here. See that woman going right yonder? He said, yeah, we see her. He said, I've been watching that treasure. And I'll tell you something, boys. That woman going right there, she gave more than every one of them rich men.
Amen.
I believe they scratched her head and they don't have no record that they argued with the Lord. But I'm telling you one thing, Brother Frank, they probably had a hard time, especially if they had any carnality moment, understanding exactly how he told the truth right there. But I tell you how he told the truth. He said they gave out of their abundance. But she gave out of her penury or out of her poverty. Said she gave even all her living. She gave 100%. And you know what? If it had been me, I'd have probably run to that treasure, grabbed me a great big old double handful of the money, come out of that thing them rich men everybody put in. I'd have run her down. And I'd have said, here, you can't afford to do this. Here's my, try to give back to her. But Jesus didn't. He accepted her last penny, amen, into the treasury of God. You know why? Because he knew, bless God, that she gave more than the rest of them. And I do believe this. When I get to heaven, I'll see her and I'll talk to her about it. But I believe, bless God, that he throwed open the windows of heaven out yonder somewhere and poured out a blessing on her so big she couldn't receive. Amen. She reminds me of that widow from Zarephath over at Federal Elijah. And I ain't got time to get in that. I'll be here the rest of the day, amen. But I'm going to tell you one thing right now. The poor can get in on this, thank God, the same as the rich can. And you can give, bless God, if you ain't got nothing. You can give as much as the wealthy can, thank God, of your substance, amen. And the attitude of the heart of how you give it makes a lot of difference, too. Give cheerfully. Give lovingly. Give liberally. Amen. And if you sow sparingly, you shall reap. What did I say, church? What did I say, church? But if you sow bountifully, you'll reap how? How? Is that abundant? Is that abundant fruit? Is that a Bible guarantee? You ever hear this? Given, it shall be given thee. Given unto you, good measure. Pressed down, shaken together, running over. Shall men give it unto your bosom? For with what measure you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. Proverbs 19:17. He that hath pity upon the poor lendeth unto the Lord.
That's right.
And he will repay. When you're giving it to get the gospel to poor perishing sinners, you're actually not even giving it. You get credit for giving it, but the Lord considers it a loan. And you know, in this world, I've got a feeling, especially in America and in England, you put your money in the bank, you may not never see it again. But I've got 100% guarantee from that book right there. I used to be in financial planning business. I'm going to give you some investment advice. Lay not up treasures on earth where moth doth corrupt. Moth eats and rust corrupts and the thieves break through and steal, but lay up treasures in heaven. Give to get the gospel out. And I'll guarantee if you sow bountifully, that's the third guarantee from my Bible right there and your Bible. If you'll do that from the heart, not for no show, not to pat yourself on the back and brag about how much you give into missions, but you'll do it between you and Jesus out of love for him first, and the lost perishing sinners around this world without any prejudice. My old mother taught me from a boy, red and yellow, black and white, all are precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little children of this world. God's love is colorblind. They'll come out of every nation, tongue, and kindred and sat down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom. In India alone, there's almost 2,000 dialects. And my Bible said there'll be somebody get saved out of every one of them. And I want to try to reach as many of them as I can reach. Not only by going, not only by giving myself, but giving my substance for the glory of God.